We all are interested supremely in one subject. One thing means more to us than all the other things in the world put together, our search for God and the understanding of God's nature. The aim of the metaphysical movement is to teach the practice of the presence of God. We practice the presence of God by seeing God everywhere, in all things and in all people, despite appearances to the contrary. As we look about the world with the eyes of the flesh, we see inharmony, fear, and all sorts of difficulties. But our leader, Jesus Christ, taught us, saying, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So when we see the appearance of evil, we look through it to the truth that lies beyond it. As soon as we see this truth and see it spiritually, the appearance changes, because this is a mental world. Now, most people do not know this. They think this is a material world, and this is why humanity has problems. After 19 centuries of formal Christianity, the world is passing through desperate difficulties. But we know the truth. We do not judge by appearances. We know that we live in a mental world, and to know this is the key to life. If children could be taught only one thing, they should be taught that this is a mental world. I would let all the other things go and teach them this. Whatever enters into your life is but the material expression of some belief in your own mind. The kind of body you have, the kind of home you have, the kind of work you do, the kind of people you meet, are all conditioned by and correspond to the mental concepts you hold. The Bible teaches this from beginning to end. I am putting the idea in the language of metaphysics. The Bible gives it in the language of religion, but it is the same truth. About 20 years ago, I coined the phrase mental equivalent, and now I want to say that for anything that you want in your life, a healthy body, a satisfactory vocation, friends, opportunities, and above all, the understanding of God, you must furnish a mental equivalent. Supply yourself with a mental equivalent, and the thing must come to you. Without a mental equivalent, it cannot come. Now, as to the things in your life that you would like to be rid of, everyone has such things in life. Perhaps bodily difficulties or faults of character are the most important. We all have habits of thought and action, and we all have business, family, and personal conditions we would like to be rid of. If we rid our minds of the mental equivalent of them, they must go. Everything that you see or feel on the material plane, whether it is your body, your home, your business, or your city, is but the concrete expression of a mental equivalent that you hold. Everything in your city is the embodiment of mental equivalents the citizens hold. Everything in your country is the embodiment of mental equivalents the people of the country hold. And the state of the world embodies the mental equivalent of the billions of people in the world. What about war? That is the physical expression of a mental equivalent held by the human race. The human race has believed in the old bogey of fear. It has believed that you can enrich yourself by taking something belonging to someone else. It has believed in death and in lack. It has believed that aggression pays and that helping yourself to other people's things is a good policy. We all have believed this in some degree. The natural result of this has been to precipitate in the outer a picture of war, death, suffering, and so on. Because humanity had the mental equivalent of war, war came. Today, the world is beginning to get the mental equivalent of peace, and this is why peace will come. A new world will come. The new world will be worth living in. In the great new world that is going to come, and it will come sooner than some people think, there will be peace, harmony, and understanding between people and between nations. But always, the thing you see in the outer is the precipitation on the physical plane of a mental equivalent held by one or more people. Now, of course, I borrowed this expression, mental equivalent, from physics and chemistry. We speak of the mechanical equivalent of heat, for example, and engineers constantly have to work out the equivalent of one kind of energy in another kind of energy. They have to discover how much electricity they will need to do certain mechanical work. They have to find out how much coal will be needed to produce so much electricity, and so on. In like manner, there is a mental equivalent of every object or occurrence on the physical plane. The secret of successful living is to build the mental equivalent that you want and to rid yourself of the mental equivalent that you do not want. I have friends in London who have rheumatism all the time. In fact, it was once called the National British Disease. Some people have it beginning in October and lasting until March. Others only have it until Christmas. Others do not get it before Christmas and then have it until February. Of two men living in the same town, doing the same work, eating the same food, drinking the same water, why does one have rheumatism from October until February and the other not have it at all or at a different time? Why? Because they have furnished the mental equivalent for what they get. Why is a quarrelsome person always in trouble? He becomes dissatisfied in New York, so he goes to Chicago. He thinks he will like it in Chicago, but pretty soon he has enemies in Chicago, so he goes to Kansas City. He has heard there are nice people there, but soon he is in trouble again. Why? He has what we call a quarrelsome disposition. He has the mental equivalent of strife. There is another person, and wherever he goes, there is peace. If he visits a quarrelsome family, there is peace while he is there. He has the mental equivalent of peace and divine love. So the key to life is to build the mental equivalents of what you want, and to expunge the equivalents of what you do not want. How do you do it? You build the mental equivalents by thinking quietly, constantly, and persistently of the kind of thing you want. Thinking has two qualities, clarity or definiteness, and interest. If you want to build anything into your life, if you want to bring health, right activity, your true place, inspiration, if you want to bring right companionship, and above all, if you want understanding of God, form a mental equivalent of the thing you want by thinking about it a great deal, by thinking clearly and with interest. Remember, clarity and interest, these are the two poles.